Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Well, hello there, Jessica. I'm so excited to have you on the show today, Integrative Lyme Solution with Dr. Karlfeldt, and I get to hang with a cool gal right by me here.
Oh, welcome, Jessica. We're so excited to have you and to hear your journey and everything you've been through and what it's changed in you and kind of where your life has gone from there.
I'm very honored to be invited, and I'm looking forward to telling my story.
Wonderful. So tell me a little bit, where did it all begin? I mean, that's always the magical question where, you know, you have normal life and then all of a sudden life is not normal anymore.
I had, growing up, a lot of health issues starting around the age of like 8. And it was kind of like a mystery thing. And it was written off as growing pains or one thing or another. And then, I mean, I was still an active, vital child. I played sports and I was a volunteer firefighter when I was 16 years old. And I know definitively at that point in time, I had multiple tick bites with, you know, being out on brush fires.
And where was this at? I mean, what part of the country were you living?
So I live about half an hour to 45 minutes north of Baltimore in Maryland.
That would be some ticks there.
Yeah. And, you know, it was, Lyme disease was not talked about here just as like anywhere else. And I just slowly got diagnosed with one thing after another. It was fibromyalgia. It was MS. They had me injecting medications into me daily, which, knowing now what I know, just sent the Lyme and Borrelia and Bartonella and all my co-infections into absolute feeding frenzy. And so for me, I guess when I just felt like throughout my whole 20s, I was going downhill. And my brother passed away very suddenly when I was about 28, and I was pretty sick at the time. And I think it really inspired me to say, listen, I've been doing the whole Western medicine thing. I've been doing what everyone's been asking me to do, and I've followed doctor's orders, and it's not working for me. And it took several years after that. And I remember walking into a new physician's office, and she was CRNP. And I just had a meltdown in front of her and said, listen, I don't know what's wrong with me. I've had I've had a doctor tell me nobody's going to know what's wrong with you until you're dead and they can autopsy your brain. And
wow,
I found a very crazy, amazing doctor, or NP, and she herself had Lyme. And so she was very familiar with a lot of the infections and co-infections. And I did start treatment. She got me down to GEMSET Clinic in Washington, D.C., which is like a 2 to 3 hour drive from my house. And I accredited with Dr. Jemsek with saving my life. When I was finally given the correct diagnosis, I just had such a sense of absolute relief. And my mom was more worried about the fact that he was like, if you go untreated, your organs are shutting down at this point. You have 6 to 8 months to live without some type of intervention.
Oh, really?
And my mom was not ready to lose another child, you know, right, to something what was available. And Dr. Jemsek, the whole clinic, they took incredible care of me, but I was just a very, very stubborn case. I mean, I guess it matches my personality in a lot of ways.
Well, you have to almost be stubborn to survive all this. I mean, because it's, I mean, otherwise, how do you do it? I mean, yep. you got to push on when all of a sudden you have nothing to push with, and still, you got to try to figure out how to get through it to the other side.
Yep, and I did. I mean, I did everything. I researched everything. I went to support groups and just looked for anything, because we all know what works for one necessarily doesn't work for another always. And I did get a lot better with Dr. Jumczak. And I mean, I had done the whole IV antibiotics and everything else. And what I actually met my now husband, and about 6 weeks after we were dating, he was in a coma, and it caused a very severe remission of my Lyme disease. And from there, it was a losing battle.
So here you lost your brother at an early age, and now you have the trauma of your husband.
Yeah, I mean, he spent 8 days in a coma, and following a botched neck surgery, which I had had as well. But I got very, very sick, and I wasn't getting better. I was trying food. I was trying, you know, Reiki. I was doing acupuncture. I was doing everything. And I knew that I had problems detoxing my liver. So my ammonia levels would spike and make me go completely crazy and off the walls.
Can I give a description of where you were at physically when you said you go downhill? What does that look like? What, you know, if you would describe, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally, pain.
It was worse the second time getting going downhill. The original time, it was like more aches and pains that, you know, going through your 20s into your mid 30s, you're kind of like, well, I guess I'm getting a little bit older. This is not normal. And I'm somebody, I, you know, don't go to the doctor for very much unless I'm like dying. I don't go to the doctor.
But still, they diagnosed you with MS or saying that. Yeah. So it must have been bad. Yeah. Must have been bad enough to give you an MS diagnosis.
Yep. I had lesions on my brain, and some of that was, I also had a massive head trauma as a child, hit by a car when I was six. But when I went to, by the time I got down to GEMSEC, they sent me for a spec scan and found out that I only had like 25% of blood flow going to the right side of my brain. So like literally my emotions that I were completely unregulated because of a head trauma as a child were just exacerbated by Lyme. You know, I was a dispatcher I worked for 911 in the county I lived in. I've lived here for 38 years now, and I knew every back street, everything. And I was getting lost literally 2 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of terrifying.
So when you were going downhill then, when your husband had the, you know, when he was in a coma, I mean, how bad was that when you got lost just 2 minutes away from your house? And
that, when I had gotten better with him before I met him, and I was kind of stable with my monthly antibiotics and, you know, occasional ups and downs. When I really went bad after that was, I ended up being bedbound for 6 to 8 months. I lived outside of doctor's appointments or my bedroom or the bathroom or the hospital. That was it.
And that's a good thing to, I mean, not good, but, you know, a good thing to point out is that I think that any form of stress on our body is what really ignites our Lyme. So I'm constantly telling people I know it's hard to live a stress-free life, but do the best that you can. You know, don't put stipulations on yourself to where, you know, you're fighting a losing battle. Just kind of work your days and your life through not having stress. So obviously in your case, you know, your husband being in a coma, that's pretty darn stressful. So that is probably the reason your Lyme was triggered.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely was a major, major factor in it. And, you know, I had gone through PICC lines. I'd gone through, and I'd gotten to a point where I was doing a little better, but then that trauma really did set things off. And it was, my fight or flight symptom was always going. I was hypervigilant. I'd start losing memory. I had hallucinations that I knew blood wasn't running down the walls, but I was seeing it.
Wow.
And I got, ended up getting to the point where I had Lyme carditis, and I ended up going to, about a 6-week period, I was in a cardiac arrest 6 times.
Oh my gosh.
And I was very lucky to have my mom and my husband to revive me. And in that period was when my in-laws really stepped up, and they found this place in Germany. My father-in-law used to work for he was a high-ranking chemist with a pharmaceutical company over there, but found this private clinic and offered to pay for treatment for me. And I just, at that point in time, I had made my peace with life that, like, I wasn't going to last, but if that anybody wanted, there was any chance of me surviving it, despair or heartache, I was going to go out fighting.
Right.
My damnedest.
Good for you. So then that's when you took off to Germany.
Yep. It was the first time I've ever flown first class, because we were afraid that I needed to have room in case I went into a cardiac arrest again.
Oh my gosh.
So that was something extra that, like, my in-laws, I mean, very kindly and very blessed. And then we checked in. We actually flew in over New Year's in 2018 to 2019. And I checked in to the clinic, and we arrived in the morning, and then the next day we checked in at a clinic. So we stayed in a hotel for the first night, and my husband made me go on a short walk, which I was barely walking at the time. And he's like, I just want you to believe in that possibility that this could happen. You could get better. And so I did. I made a promise to myself and to my creator and said I surrendered to this process. And I walked into the clinic holding on to my husband, barely able to stand on my own. Wow. And 3 weeks to the day later, I was in Munich walking 5 miles, celebrating my first anniversary.
How awesome.
Wow. So, 3 weeks.
Did you enjoy Marienplatz?
Yes. Yeah.
So what did the treatment look like in Germany?
So treatment was nothing like I could find over here. It was an inpatient clinic. My husband went with me. He was raised in Germany, so it helped to have him, but it was not by any means a necessity. Okay. The clinic also offers partner treatment for partners that, if it's sexually transmitted. So he was able to stay. We checked into in the clinic and had my own private hospital room, 2 beds. We had a closet room. It was just like a regular hospital bed. I mean, a hospital room, like 5-star, I guess. And I had, they do a lot of Western medications. So they do antibiotic treatment, but only under hypothermia, which is what they're primarily known for.
Okay.
I'm not sure if either one of you are familiar with that or not.
Yes.
We are. Yes. Yeah.
But there was, they control your diet. I mean, you can go off, make your own, buy your own food or whatever, but all the food is provided for you. it's all gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free. They make sure you're getting your vitamins. They give you additional IVs for vitamins, supplements. I also went through chelation treatment while I was there, okay. Which wasn't so bad. It wasn't
so bad. So did you have a lot of metal toxicities or?
So my levels were off the charts with, especially like my mercury levels. When I'm living in Maryland, I love my crab meat.
Well, I mean, also as a firefighting, then you're exposed to a lot of chemicals and metals that way. So that in itself is going to put a lot of stress on your nervous system.
Yep. I was always told when I was younger that if I didn't slow down, if I didn't pace myself, somebody was going to burn me out. And when I got diagnosed with Lyme, that was my indicator that I had run so hard from everything, trying to pretend like everything was normal or I wasn't in pain or, you know, hiding things that it hindered my care. It hindered me getting the treatment I needed, but.
Better late than never, right?
Better late than never.
So you did hypothermia at this clinic. Tell us a little bit about how that went.
I did two rounds of hypothermia. So they like to control your diet, and like the day before you're given, it's just like getting colonics. So they do colonics there, and they make sure
that amazing.
Which is amazing. The first one, I will tell you, I absolutely hated. I thought it was miserable. It was the worst thing I had ever been through. By the second one, for my second round of hypothermia, much better experience.
Yeah. And just for those listeners out there that don't know what colonics is, it's hydrocholine therapy. It's a great way to detox your body. Some people also, along the same lines, to do an in-home something. They do coffee enemas in place of that. But yes, I'm with you. Colonics is amazing.
But they would detox your body entirely. Ionic foot baths, blue. It's a ski mat technology that was developed for athletes. And they would put you on that. They would put you under blue light therapy. Massage to detox your body to get as much of the chemicals out as possible before you go in for a round of hypothermia. And they had an ICU in the clinic that I stayed in. So should anything have ever gone wrong, the security of knowing there was an ICU level staff.
Right.
But they come get you at like 8:30 in the morning. You get an enema first thing. They put you in a tent up to your neck. So they keep your head out so you don't overheat. Your brain doesn't overheat. And then basically they put you on propofol and increase your core temperature to somewhere between 106.8 and 107 for about 6 to 8 hours. And you come out of there. I was doped up. I don't even remember the whole day the first time. I apparently snored louder than I've ever had in my entire life. But other than that, I woke up. I felt great. I mean, compared to how I've been feeling. So I did two rounds of that. And while I was there, they did other types of treatments as well.
Wow. So. Yeah. No, I owe so much of my healing journey to heating up my core temperature. Unfortunately, I wasn't as lucky as you in that my head, my whole body was heated up. I didn't get to be put in a tent and have my head outside. And so that caused a lot of, you know, shaking and had to bite, you know, something in my mouth so I didn't bite my tongue off and that kind of stuff. But so I'm glad that you had a little bit safer form of that. So you just did the two full days of that?
It was actually 2 weeks of treatment, and that was every day detoxing and vitamin infusions and, you know, antibiotics were only used during the hypothermia. And we were told there that they are 13 times more effective under high heat than
interesting.
Then, you know, if you would take them orally or like I had been for years via IV or anything. The one thing I will say that astounded me in Germany, outside of the level of care at the facility itself, was they recommended a third week of detox for my body because we were talking about before chelation. And they actually did plasmapheresis on me as well in that third week. And it's basically like, it's very similar to dialysis.
Okay.
They take all your blood, spin it in a centrifuge and pull all the heavy metals and toxicities out of your body. And, they pulled out over 2.2 kilograms of toxins out of my body. And I got up that day and felt more amazing than I ever have in one specific day in my entire life.
Wow. Wow. So in the form that they did for you, did they took it out of one arm? Did they put it back in the other arm or the same arm? Did it just feed back through itself?
So for me, because I was blessed with teeny tiny little veins that like to collapse all the time and never work. I was the rarity over there. They ended up putting a central line in for me instead of doing it by IV.
Okay.
But there were people there that did it by IV, and it was just, it's like one IV that split into two. So it would circulate back through one IV, and mine did through a port. For a central line.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow. And so you just felt amazing within 3 weeks of being at this clinic.
My life was transformed in such a short period of time. I never in my wildest dreams, even at my best with Gemsec, and I was, you know, probably 80% better with him. And I still give him the credit that he is due, in my opinion. But I think because there are technologies and treatments that don't exist in this country, and I had so many issues with sinusitis and bronchitis and long-term exposure to antibiotics and heavy metals. And I think I was just a difficult case. I do know that it was recommended for me over there to do the extra third week. 2 weeks is standard. And I met multiple people that went, you know, while I was there, and the level of success was kind of dependent upon level of willingness to trust somebody else,
right,
especially in a foreign country.
Right.
To take care of you.
Well, that's just amazing. Can you share the name of the clinic with us?
So the name of the clinic is Clinic, and it's actually spelled K-L-I-N-I-K, St. Georg, and that's S-T, St. Georg, G-E-O-R-G, like George without the E on the end.
Okay.
And that was in Bad Abling, which is about an hour and a half outside of Munich in Bavaria. So it's right outside the Alps.
Okay.
You go in the wintertime, there's still stuff to do, but the snow is amazing. It's absolutely a gorgeous little lovely town.
Oh, very nice.
Surrounding the area. And they do have hotels for family members if they don't want to stay in the clinic.
Okay. That's good to know. That's good to know. So, and I know along this journey, I don't know when you started it, but you do have a blog about your Lyme journey, correct?
Yep.
When did you start that?
I started it when I realized when I got my official diagnosis with Dr. Gemsec. You know, there were years leading up to it that I didn't know what was wrong with me. But when I knew what I was going to be in for and how life-changing it was going to be, I put my life on my blog. And I'm usually somebody who's very introverted and likes her privacy, which I don't get much of, but I like it. And I decided to document my life on there. because if I could have spared anybody one symptom, one month, one day, one week of what I suffered with and what my mom, I saw her suffer along with me and my husband, it was something that I would not wish on my worst enemy.
Yeah, it's such a brutal disease that does not get the recognition that it needs. And, you know, that's just another reason why we do these podcasts. So where can somebody follow your journey?
You can follow me on limestorm.com, which is my blog. I also have a Facebook page, which is just Limestorm. And that's spelled LYMESTORM. That's pretty much my handle on social media for everything.
I like that name because it's definitely like going through a storm that you don't think is ever going to end.
It was inspired by Liz. I love the band Hailstorm, and I just thought, you know what, it really is just Lyme is a storm that's going to destroy your life, and if you don't prepare for it.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, I'm so excited to hear that you are doing well. And you probably know now that we have to just, as a Lyme person, we have to keep our life in check. And I'm glad you're aware of that, because so many people I see that go through this journey and then they don't ever want to think about Lyme again. And then, you know, when they least expect it, here it comes again. You know, it's just such a, it's definitely a life-changing disease. You have to kind of change your lifestyle and figure out what will work for you to not overstress, not overdo it. There's so many factors that play into staying healthy. So getting Lyme, beating Lyme, and then keeping it away. There's a lot of steps to it.
Yep.
So,
I mean, as far as, you know, for me, I do have the comfort of knowing that, you know, when I was here in the U.S. getting treatment, it cost my family spent about $250,000 trying to save me. And for 60,000 euros, both my husband and I were cured. Dark blood analysis and,
wow.
You know, they can't ever say 100%, but there were no spirochetes detected anywhere. In 3 weeks, it has given me a lot more safety, which I know is an issue for Lyme people, being out in the woods or being in nature. I have this safety net of knowing that if I need to, I know where to go for me.
And that's important, because some people really struggle with trying to live a life outdoors. You know, they're just petrified to even walk across the grass. So that is, you know, reassuring, knowing that you're so confident in the treatment that you received that you can, you know, go back there again if you needed to, which obviously nobody wants that to happen. But just knowing, yeah. So you say 60,000 euros. What is that in American money? Do you know?
Now that was first class included. It was roughly around $75,000.
And that included a first class flight.
With that included my husband and myself being treated, staying in a facility, food, you know, everything taken care of for you, medications, stem cells, all that kind of stuff. So it, you know, I'm not saying that it's cheap. It's not a cheap thing to do. But had I known what I know now, I probably could have saved myself a lot of money. And that's something that I know bankrupts a lot of Lyme patients, and it's hard to recover from.
It is. And of course, $75,000 is a lot of money, but so many Lyme people have spent that and they're still trying to get a diagnosis. So in the big picture, it's not that much, you know? So Well, gosh, it was so great to hear your journey and kind of two journeys. And I'm assuming your husband is out and doing well outside of his coma now.
Yes, yes. Took a long time. He had osteomyelitis in his spine while I had Lyme. We were a hot mess for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
We're both in a better place of healing and
that's
recovery.
Wonderful. So at least one of you can take care of the other now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, gosh, I can't thank you enough for joining us and taking us on your journey with you. And I'm so grateful that you were one of the lucky ones who found two amazing doctors, Dr. Jemsek and then the clinic in Germany. And we'll go ahead and put the clinic name in your podcast title as well, so people can find it if they need to.
Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right. All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.